Good morning. My name is Chris Delhomme. Some of you all know me, some of you may not. I've been at the Cotton Gin Lab in Stoneville for about 7 months. For about 8 years prior to that, I worked in cotton quality measurements at Southern Regional Research Center in New Orleans. But Rick and Stanley did a really good job of selling the gin lab, and so I took the opportunity to make a move up there. Today I'd like to talk about basically the performance of a commercially available microwave-based bale moisture content meter. As you all know, the moisture content of bales has become increasingly important, especially with the Farm Service Agency's 2006 decision to cap bale moisture at 7.5% wet basis, the idea, of course, being to help combat deterioration of lint quality. While the bale moisture is an important issue that needs to be addressed, one problem that exists is there is no fast, accurate, affordable, easy, agreeable method to determine what is that true moisture content of the bale. Several microwave-based bale moisture content meters have become commercially available, and there has not been a lot of data on some of them to see if they actually live up to their billing. I'd like to present some data on one meter, and that'd be the Vomax 851B, which is out of Australia and sold by Samuel Jackson here in the United States. Now, here's a picture of the Vomax itself. As you can see, it's installed in a fixed point in the gin. And in this case, this is in Holly Ridge, Mississippi, the Holly Ridge Gin Company. And they have the meter installed between the bale press and the bagging line. And the bale passed between these two plates right here. And the results are reported on this little monitor as well as on a computer screen in the gin manager's office. There's a microwave signal that's transmitted on these plates through a cross-section about 8 inches by 11 inches. And it takes several thousand readings as the bale passes through there and reports an average. So you get one number. Now, one thing we did notice is the reading is presented with only about 3/4 of the bale having passed through the sensor. So if you had a wet spot on the back end of the bale, you might not catch it. And because you're averaging several thousand readings of the bale, you might not catch any isolated moisture issues. Now, as I said, it reports a instantaneous average, which is the calculated average. It can also report an exponential time average, which can be fed into your gin control system. We didn't really look at that aspect of it because we're really interested in, does this instantaneous average give us what we expect it to give? And so we're going to see what we got. We did two phases to this study. On the first phase, we produced 6 bales on 2 different days, so 6 bales per day. And for each of those days, we did 2 different drying schemes, trying to present to the meter a wide range of bale moisture content. We then covered these bales, put them into the back of one of our trucks, and ran over to Holly Ridge Gin, which is only about 10, 15 minutes away. So we're pretty sure that we didn't have any problems with any differences. We were able to take a number of samples of these bales at our lint slide in the gin at Stoneville and took those over and did oven moisture determination using the Shepherd method. And when we took them to the gin, we ran through the Vomax both with and without bagging to determine whether that bagging would have any effect. Because although in Holly Ridge, the meter is installed after the bale press, but before the bagging's applied, it could be installed after bagging has been applied. Now for the second phase, we went out to Holly Ridge during this past ginning season, and over 5 different days over about a 3-week period, we collected one single sample from 10 different bales each day. And we just pulled that sample right when they pulled the classing sample. We reached in and took that sample back to the lab and ran the oven method on it, as well as recording the bale weight and what was the Vomax reading for those bales. And we got pretty lucky that over these 5 days, we had hot days, cold days, wet days, dry days. And so we were hoping we'd get as wide a range of moisture as we could, although being a commercial setting, we're going to get what we get. We don't have much control over that. So again, in phase one, we took 6 samples per bale. So we had a pretty representative sampling across that bale. And we were able to control the range of moisture content because we produced these bales ourselves. In phase two, this is more representative of what you're going to see in the real world. However, we're only able to get 1 sample, and so it's not as thoroughly sampled per each bale. Now, one of the things I was curious about is how does the meter actually work? And if you look here, what's circled, I'm not sure how well it shows up in the light in here, but there's a little contact switch right here, and as the bale's pulled through the chain, it hits that switch right as the bale enters between the plates, and that triggers it to start taking the readings. Like I said, the bale's about 3/4 of the way through when your reading shows up, so the tail end of the bale does not appear to be measured. Now, one problem we had was when we put bagging on, the bagging would get a little loose and be not quite up to the bale, and it would trip the sensor before the bale was in the plates, and it would get an error reading from reading free air. Well, at least in this particular installation, the only message you get that there's been an error is a little reading on this display, and the bale just keeps on going. So we'd have to take the bale off, run it back through, and I think for a commercial application, if that meter gets tripped, there needs to be a better way to let the guys on the floor know that there's been a problem that otherwise only the gin manager knows, and that's only if they're looking at the computer at the time. So now here you can see this is at the gin with our bales taking these readings, and the bale's coming out of the bale press back there. And on this turntable is where this gin's collecting their Classen samples. That's where we took our Classen samples during the commercial season. And then it ran through these plates, and we were able to take our readings. Now, the fiber properties we used in phase one, we used two varieties, Phytogen 480 and Stoneville 4892. And both of these cottons were grown in Stoneville, Mississippi, and both were harvested in 2006. As you can see, the two varieties are fairly similar as far as their fiber properties. The only significant difference really being in micronair, with the Phytogen being 4.3 and the Stoneville 4892 being a 5.0. And the moisture content of the seed cotton, which we took from our wagons that we used a sucker pipe to pull the cotton out of, was pretty close, 9.6 and 9.3%. Now, the results we got for phase one, we had, according to the Vomax, a range from 5.2 to 7.9%. And according to our oven results, 4.2 to 7.2%. So right in there, we thought we might have something interesting to see. And the standard deviations for the Vomax, and this is passing it through three times with bagging and three times without bagging, was quite low, minimum of 0.0 and maximum of 0.06. That means for one pass out of the six, it differed by 0.1% of the other five readings. The oven method was a little bit more variable. That's to be expected. However, again, the standard deviations were quite low. Here, what I'm looking at is, was there an effect of the bagging? And you can see this is for Phytogen 480, which is the first six bales that we made. That's on day one of this first phase. And there is essentially no difference with the bagging. If we look at the second day with Stoneville 4892 bales, again, there's no... no error, no difference between bagging and no bagging. So from this limited sample, we don't believe that the bagging is having an effect. Again, three measurements made with the bagging, three measurements made without, and the bagging seemed to have no effect. Now, we kept the orientation of the bales constant for those six measurements in case shape or direction would have a role. Like I said, only 3/4 of the bale appears to be measured. However, when we went to go put the bagging onto the bales, we utilized the chain drive to make it easier on our guys, and we ran the bales through backwards and upside down, and we didn't take note of those readings, and they were identical to the previous six to the other six measurements. And so we're pretty sure, from this limited sample, that the orientation of the bale does not have any effect. And again, I really hate to keep harping on it, but if you trip that sensor, you get an error, and it was I just think they need to probably improve to let the operators know that there was an error, because you have to go to the machine, you have to reset something on through a couple different menus. Now, if we plot that data, on the y-axis here we have what the moisture content measured by the Vomax was, and on the x is moisture content as measured by the oven. It correlates pretty decently, especially for cotton, except for in one instance, the Vomax always read higher than the oven. And this was correctable. This had an uncorrected error about 0.48%. This little dashed line here is representing a 1-to-1. And you can see that the regression line, the solid black line, is converging with that 1-to-1 line, but it would probably converge somewhere on the high end where you don't want to be anyway on your moisture content. It'd probably be about 7.5%, 8.5% bale moisture content. Now, again, all readings for the Vomax were higher than the oven except for one case. The uncorrected error for this was about 0.48%. However, we were able to correct that down to about 0.24%, which isn't too bad. And most impressively, having looked at a number of meters in the past with Southern Regional Research Center, I was surprised at how repeatable these Vomax readings really were, that it just gave you the same number again and again. Now, like I said, phase two was we went out to the commercial gin and collected commercial samples. Here we had a little bit different range, 5.6 to 7.1% according to the Vomax. And yet again, we're seeing a lower reading according to the oven, a range of about 4.6 to 6.1% moisture content. And look at a little plot. Now again, it's important to understand that on the commercial samples, we were only able to collect one sample for oven testing. And so it's not as thoroughly sampled as in the first stage. Again, it's a little wider spread, a little lower correlation, but overall for a natural material in a commercial setting, I was pretty pleased with this correlation. And if you look again at the dashed line, I'm not quite sure why this offset exists. It's a little higher of an offset, and Rick and I have been discussing that. And again, I'm tending to think it's because we did not thoroughly sample the commercial bales the way we were able to thoroughly sample our bales that we ginned at the lab. For this, the initial error was, as you can see from that difference, about 1.1%. We were able to correct that down, though, to 0.27, so really, the corrected error is not significantly different than in the first phase of the study. Again, for these 50 bales, the Vomax reading was always higher than the oven method. Now, here I combine the results from phase one and phase two, and you can see the blue circles are the bales that we made at the gin lab in Stoneville, and you can see how they're closer to that dashed one-to-one line. And here, if you look at the overall regression, it's decent, it's not great. It gives hope, though, that this could be correctable. And you can see it's converging, again, somewhere probably around 8.5% is where these would converge. Now, I have talked to Chris Jackson over at Samuel Jackson, and he confirmed that the Australians have purposely set the calibration to be a little high, that it's nice insurance for the gin manager that if the Vomax says you're at 7.5% when you get to the warehouse, you're not going to be over 7.5%, and you're not going to get dinged for that. So, again, when we combined all 62 bales, we had an uncorrected error about 0.96%, so around that 1% offset that we keep seeing, but we will correct that down with regression to 0.32%. And that's, you know, anyone who's worked with bale moisture meters and cotton moisture meters in general, that's not too bad. Again, what I was most impressed by was the repeatable measurements of the Vomax. My initial take is that the DVL calibration could use some work, that it's reading about 1% high, and I understand that Vomax has a reason for doing that. At least on this particular Vomax, we didn't check any other Vomax installations. This is just the one in Holly Ridge. I don't know. I would hope they're the same, but you never know. I'd like to see it a little closer. It does seem to work pretty well for gin control. Like I said, these 50 commercial samples were taken in all sorts of weather and all sorts of conditions, and yet they had a fairly small range. And irregardless of what we saw, the results do appear to be able to be corrected. So, thank you.
Anybody have a quick question?
We pulled them out the lint slide. So as they were going into the bale press, we did some surface measurements with a different meter, which showed that it was pretty uniform. I'm not sure. I think they said they did, but some days they weren't running, some days they were. there were some really wet days this year.
Yep, back.
Actually, we lucked out. On the first day we went out to Holly Ridge, Sam Jackson's folks were out there. They had just finished checking it out and making sure everything was functioning right. And they were on scene. They said that's the way it operates. I think it would have a lot to do at what speed the gin was running. From talking to Vomax, the Vomax people in Australia, there's a lot of things that the gin itself can set. And I'd be concerned that you're not catching that last quarter of the bail. But the folks there didn't seem concerned. I think I missed that. I missed what you were saying there at the end there.
Do you intend to look at the OMAX with either human air or the respiratory organ supply? Because the standard says 75% organ time get maximum at any point that it fails. You need to be capturing those 5,000 readings that are happening in the entire fail, not just one reading or three
organs. Okay, I got you. Yeah, in talking to OMAX, I actually asked them about that. And their answer was essentially, I think if they wanted the individual readings, they could get them, but there's really no way for any end user to look at those. And it was a point that was raised when we were looking at this, would a wet spot be caught? And in all honesty, from what we're seeing, because you just get an average of those readings, a wet spot over 7.5% within that bale would, if the rest of the bale was significantly below that, it would get averaged right out, which could be a problem. So, can't do much about physics. So, and we would like to thank Ed Barnes, Cotton Incorporated, for funding and support of this project. We always appreciate the cash.